fall into big savings, all in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with your card and a digital coupon. Then buy one, get one free on our full line sale of tender Tyson chicken with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, faithful? Coming to you guys Saturday morning. Rise and shine, campers. It's time to talk 49ers Rams. This is our flagship program. This is the bookend of what kind of started things. It was the draft, and it was scouting reports for the 49ers Rush Podcast. This is what we do. This is episode 1218. Good Lord. Good Lord. Y'all have been with us for a minute, and I cannot say thank you enough. What's up, Raphael, my man? Good morning, Josh. The executive producer of this show is none other than 49ers faithful forever, Josh. He is the man. Dude, love this dude. He is absolutely incredible. He knocked it out of the park. So just want to let you know, buckle up. We're going to be here a minute, guys. we're going to have a good time. We've got way too many notes. We have dissected this matchup. I started grinding tape on Wednesday. Josh started doing research on Tuesday, and we have just been working. I've been up for about 2.5 hours this morning, just finished putting the finishing touches on all these things. Bets, predictions, scouting reports, weaknesses, best matchups, worst matchups, coaching connections, scheme, blitz rate, you name it, you got it. Hopefully, this will be the most, I don't know, detailed, action-packed, perhaps, report out there to preview for the game and make sure you're ready for both teams. So want to say thank you to everybody. And again, like and subscribe. All the hashtag CCs. You guys are the best. Love you guys and girls. Everybody that's out there, you guys are absolutely incredible. So here we go. And look at JD. He says, I'm changing my brakes outside. Glad I happened to check my phone. Catch you live. Man, be safe, man. have a good time. What's up, Kim from Denmark? Man, it's wonderful to see you, my friend. And Nate, he says, hey, John, was at last weekend's road trip and got second on the Kahoot. That's right. You did, man. You knew the trivia. Love the tailgate and great meeting you, dude. Pleasure was all mine, Nate. Next time you got to win, though, second place. We ain't here for second place. What is this? A 49ers Super Bowl appearance in the last 15 years? Now I'm sad inside. Okay, here we go. Let's talk Rams. Let's preview what they've done so far, what the resume looks like. Then we'll detail the Niners. Go through scouting reports. We'll go through injuries, all that stuff, okay? Both teams, Rams and the 49ers, which I would say rivals, maybe brother, little brother is probably the more succinct way to put it. Injuries galore. It's really across the entire NFL. I mean, Troy Fontenot, one of the favorite, like, my crushes in the draft. Shout out to Brad Graham, him as well. Just got injured really, really bad. Like, every single team is kind of dealing with major injuries, and it feels like the NFL, perhaps more this year than other years, is it's rough out there. And what's crazy is the 49ers are injured really, really bad, not near as bad as the Rams. It's probably a 2-to-1. Rams have twice as much injuries than the 49ers do, and the 49ers are loaded with injuries. It's that kid. What's up, man? Sacktown Empire checked it in. Salute. Ah, Sacramento is freaking awesome. Thank you, man. And if, yeah, you represent a chapter, please throw that in the chat. I cannot do enough. Just this morning, I was, you know, get a couple messages on our site, the 49ersrush.com. hey, I live in so-and-so area. I want to watch the game with Niners fans. Do you know where they are in this state, this city? I'll jump on. I'll stop whatever I'm doing besides recording live or chilling with the family. I'll find something. I'll do the best I can to get you linked up with somebody because the 49ers community, nothing makes me happier than getting people together. Now, the Rams last year, and really since McVay arrived, probably one of the healthiest teams in the NFL year in, year out. Now, 2 years ago, they got hit with the injury bug, 5-12. This year, they're hit with the injuries. They're 0-2 and not even close to 0-2. Like, it's bad, bad. But that's kind of the way they build their roster with Les Snead and Sean McVay. If everything goes right, we win it all. And that's kind of how they build things. If one or two things go wrong, nah, season's over. And they're right there. You know, we'll see what happens. Does Kupp return soon? He's not going to be playing this week. But if they don't start to get healthy quick, Rams are going to be getting a top five pick. And I'm not quite sure I want that. Obviously, I want them to lose, but I do not want them getting a young signal caller to replace Matt Stafford, who's hanging on the he's hanging on by a thread, baby. That's just what it is. So the 49ers have beaten the Rams 9 out of the last 10 regular season games. The only loss was the last time we played in that meaningless Week 18 game where it was Carson Wentz versus Sam Darnold. Why couldn't you play well for us then, Sam Darnold? You got to wait to go against us. So Rams are by far one of the worst teams in the NFL in the moment. I don't think anybody would disagree with that, even Rams fans. I mean, you just got dusted by 30 points to the Arizona Cardinals. That game was over in the first quarter. I mean, just terrible. Their best ranked player last week was Tutu Atwell with a 75 grade. He's played 16 snaps all year. Like, he's the number 5 wide receiver, which is okay because that's what they're going to be playing with. Their number 1 and number 2 are out. Puka and Cooper, they're gone. They're not going to be playing, so that's huge. What's up, Alejandro? DeMarcus Robinson, their other wide receiver, 67.9. He's their number 1 this week. Cooper Kupp's out. Blake Corum, and like I like Blake Corum, a lot of people do. He's played 8 snaps this year. He hasn't played much. He's not the number 2 running back. He's the number 3. Ronnie Rivers is ahead of him. You talk about the defense. They've got some youngsters that show some promise. Jared Verse, their first-round pick, who I really, really liked. He's got a 75 grade. He's not good versus the run yet, but he's a good pass rusher. It's just bad. Offensive line, right guard, left guard, center, all out. Replacement players across the board. They're young defensive tackles, which that's kind of the way they build their team, even with Aaron Donald gone. Kobe Turner should have won rookie defensive player of the year last year. He was awesome. Bobby Brown, awesome. However, what they did last year has not transferred to this year. The subtraction of Aaron Donald changed everything for this Rams defense. Everybody knew it would be an issue replacing, you know, a Hall of Famer. He's incredible. There's no doubt. He always struggled against the 49ers, but still, there's a reason why he always struggled against the 49ers. So I want to play this clip from 49ers offensive line coach Chris Forster just about what it's like replacing Aaron Donald and why the Rams game is so different now.
You know, they've got a good front regardless. 91 is kind of the heir apparent if there is a guy that kind of assumes that position. But he's a good player, really a guy that wreaked a lot of havoc last year and is doing the same this year. It's you can't put anybody in Aaron Donald's. There just isn't that focal point. It isn't the same. You're playing a good defense. They've got a lot of good rushers. Their two edge guys are probably the best rushers. The 91's a good rusher. They got three very good rushers. 97's a good rusher. They do a good job with their front five guys that rush the passer. And again, their second level players are good as well. But when people ask me about voting for Hall of Fame players, right? They say, I've got a couple guys I know, and they say, here's the list of this year's candidates. Who would you put on? I say, if you have to make a game plan around a guy, he's probably Hall of Fame worthy. If you don't, he's probably a really good player. And he might get in the Hall of Fame and deserving it so. But I'm saying, when you talk about a guy that's like, you have to game plan. That's what Aaron Donald was. I mean, the whole game plan. It feels like we're not even getting ready to play the Rams this week because it's just been so much emphasis is put on him all this time. So there really isn't a guy to replace him. When he's gone, you just have to make sure that, you know, you have to take care of your business, but it's a little more balanced of an approach.
I love Hall of Fame conversations. And if you're new with us, want to say welcome. Appreciate you guys. We go year round, baby. And in the offseason, we spend a lot of time talking Hall of Fame, best, you know, this jersey number for 49ers in history. And I love it. You know, the thing I add to the Hall of Fame, can you talk about this era of football without bringing up this player's name? Aaron Donald is that. I don't like Aaron Donald, but he is amazing. He's a Hall of Fame player. He'll be a first ballot by far. And the way that the 49ers game plan with him is you put Daniel Brunskill on him and he took care of him. That's what it was. Well, he's gone. Brunskill's gone. Donald's gone. The Rams defense is terrible. Even without the injuries, the Rams defense is terrible. Now, he said number 91's kind of the heir apparent. That's Turner, who I just brought up. But he hasn't been great. He has a 55.8 grade on PFF, 60th out of 111 defensive interior guys. Not great. Just not great. Appreciate all the hashtags, CCs. What's up, Tommy? Dre Area, my man. Smash the like button. Appreciate you, buddy. So Cameron Kitchens, their rookie, you know, he's kind of rotating in. It was my number one safety, but with John Johnson on the IR, they got Cam Curl, who I liked him out of Arkansas State. And then Quentin Lake, he's been around for a while, but I think Cam Kitchens is going to be the guy. Jimmy Garoppolo's been running their scout team all week, coming off his suspension with using the whatever, steroids, whatever you want to call it, performance-enhancing drugs. But yeah, Jimmy G, he's going to be on the sidelines with a smile. And I hope we get to reciprocate. I see Jimmy Garoppolo's time here as a positive, but at the same time, like, there were a lot of frustrating moments whenever you lose a game and he's just got the biggest smile in the world on the sidelines. It's just like, ah, yeah, I know some players, it affects them. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. We just got to look at what it is. Now, if you look at points scored, they're not good. They've only scored 30 points in both games combined. Tied for 27th in the NFL out of 32 teams bad. Points allowed, they're 31st, so second to worst. They've allowed 67s. They have been outscored 2-1 with a little bit of change in back-to-back weeks. So negative 37-point differential, not good. Week one, they played well. No doubt about that. Week one, they went out there, put up a game against Detroit, but they were healthy. They got injured a lot during the game, come from behind win for Detroit. And then whenever they showed up to Arizona, more injuries, they got blown out that game. I mean, it was just terrible. So the question then turns to, how do you play against a team with their back against the wall, division opponent, rival, if you will? All right, Kyle Shanahan, how do you prepare for an 0-2 team that's like, man, if the Rams lose this, their season's done, D-U-N.
I'm in the NFL, whether you lose two in a row after winning 10 in a row, or you start 0-2. If you lose two in a row in the NFL, it's always a kind of an Armageddon feeling in a building, especially when you lose lopsided like that. So you know how teams come out the week after that. It's such a fine line in those things. I mean, we were a couple of plays away from that, the game going like that in Minnesota. So it can happen so fast. And all you got to do is watch the Detroit game the week before to see how good of a team this team can be. I mean, they've taken it to overtime in the fifth quarter to get a chance to win, and how they had to come back to do that there at the end. So last week got out of hand a little bit early, especially the four plays they had on offense and just not getting started quick. But by no means was that an indication of what this team's going to be going through the rest of the year. When you do have a situation like we do when we go there and how we have so many fans show up, that's only cool if you play real well. If you play real well and can...
Prize Picks is America's number one daily fantasy sports app with over 5 million active members. All you do is pick more or less on 2-6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in. Right now, Caleb Williams, all you have to do is pick over or under Caleb Williams one passing yard. Every week in September, that's it. Every single week. And so for right now, you could combine that, again, 2 or 6 of these, you know, things that you pick more or less. Christian McCaffrey's at 88.5 rush yards week one. So you pair that with, you say he's going to rush for over that. You do more there. You do more on Caleb Williams' one pass yard. Bet $20, you win $60 on that. It's so simple right now. So download the Prize Pick app today. Use code 49ERS, that's 49ers, and get $50 instantly when you play on $5. That's code 49ers on Prize Picks for $50 instantly when you play $5. Don't have to win. As soon as you play $5, you get $50 back. You don't even need to win. So it's guaranteed. Prize Picks, run your game. Have you ever tried to explain football to a little kid? It's near impossible with all the rules, all the regulations, and it's just confusing. I remember the first time I coached my son's little league team whenever he was 5 years old, I got gray hairs immediately. So, I know many of you guys have young kids or grandkids, nieces, nephews, it doesn't matter, that you want to share your football experience with. Well, Future Fans is a brand that helps little kids become big football fans by embedding the rules of football into parallel games and activities. And the way Future Fans teaches, it's so unique and effective. They introduce the concepts of the sport in a way that the kid will understand. Think of a beanbag toss game for teaching first downs. And I know it sounds crazy, but it's genius and it works. You go read the reviews, you'll see for yourself. So if you want your kid to understand football, Future Fans is for you. It's only $49.99, and if you use our code RUSHRUSH at futurefans.com to get 10% off, unlock a lifetime of memories with your kid in your life starting now. Trust me, it'd be worth it.
Kind of control the game, then it gets real fun. If not, then it's twice as disappointing.
Fall's here, and so are incredible sales at Tanger Outlets. Find must-have handbags, footwear, and all the latest fall arrivals, all at unbeatable savings. Shop top brands like Nike Factory, Crocs, J. Crew Factory, Coach, Gap Factory, Old Navy Outlet, Under Armour, and even more brands you love. Save more every time you shop with deals up to 70% off. Tanger Outlets, always on trend, always on sale. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
The 49ers have always been a first quarter team. That's kind of what the Shanahan scripted plays and whatever else. That's just kind of where they kind of, I don't know, flourish perhaps. Hasn't been that way so much this year. The Rams have always been the get right game. It really, really has. And the 49ers struggled, obviously coming off a loss to the Vikings. You're 1-1, not where you want to be. You've got injuries galore, not where you want to be. But that's okay. Because, man, that trip from San Francisco to L.A., which I've made so many times in my life, it's short. And we're going to have way more fans there. And hopefully the 49ers can take care of that. You get going early, they start doing it. It's the funniest chant in the NFL. Like, every single team has their identity, their stadium, right? Rams chant, and I remember this because I remember going to the Rams games at the Coliseum, USC Stadium. And their chant was, "Whose house?" And it's like, it's not your house. This is USC's house. You are borrowing their house. Like, so it was always comical there. That was just so funny to me. Then they move into SoFi and their chant is, "Whose house?" And everybody's supposed to say, "Rams house." That's the thing. They're outnumbered by every single team that they play there. And it's just like, okay, how is somebody not there just going, "Dude, we got to change this." That, like, everybody's laughing at us. No, like, this is not a real thing. But lo and behold, here they are. I don't really know what Levi's thing is. I guess you got like the another 49ers first down, which I love. That's really, really cool. But like, I wish we had more identity. Rams are imposter identity. They're like 100% just like living a fantasy that's a lie. I'm not sure what Levi's thing is, like what our chant is. We got the air horn. I like Levi's, but man, I wish we had something that was like ours, that was unique, that got everybody going and like it was a thing. I don't know. Maybe I'm missing something. Yeah, typical LA bandwagon. Yeah, well said, Chris. What's up, Grade A? Love it, man. Dave, I know you're working. You do your thing, man. Chili says Run's house. I love that. So let's look at just overall scores, okay? So PFF analytics from each offense, defense, special teams overall. Special teams pretty close. And this is what's crazy. The 49ers special team sucks. We literally have the worst coach special teams in the NFL back-to-back years in a row. We are rated ahead of the Rams. The Rams are 25th in special teams. We're 20th. Defense, Rams are 25th. 49ers are 7th. We're not good at defense yet. We've been a top three defense for a long time. We'll see if that catches on. It's only 2 week sample size. They're 25th. We're 7th. Huge advantage. Offense, they're 27th. We're 3rd. Giant difference. Overall, they're 28th. We're 4th. It's huge. It's huge. Right here, Shade. Yeah, the 300 first down, Chad. I think that's like our thing. And I like that. I do like that. My high school did that after that movie came out. So, like, I'm used to that. It's cool. I enjoy that. But, like, I don't know. I want more. Now, let's talk coaching staff. And let's get to know these Rams coaches, which we know a lot of them. Like, let's just be really, really honest. Like, you start with Sean McVay. Sean McVay, Kyle Shanahan, it's like one of the coolest rivalries. You have two of the youngest coaches, most successful coaches in the NFL in the same division. They play each other all the time, but it's been one-sided. Obviously, McVay's trump card is he got the Super Bowl. Can't argue with that. So the question was asked yesterday, Kyle, are you like, what's it like being friends with McVay and coaching against him? What's that look like?
Yeah, I love Sean. Sean's an awesome dude. I don't talk to really anybody before games, and I come out there late. We knock out our pregame, then I go back in and get ready for our game. So it's not really much of a social event for me before games. But Sean and I, we were friends back in the day, and I usually get to see him at owners' meetings where that's where we'll hang out the most, you know, lunch, have drinks together, stuff like that. But, you know, when it comes to friends and stuff, it's, you know, we work a lot, both of us. We both have families, so there's people you're friends with your whole life, but it's not like we're texting and hanging out throughout a season together, which would probably go the case with all my friends.
If you don't know how much football Shanahan is, that dude's just the most football that football could be. It's all he does. It's all he's got to do his whole life. McVay. Not so much. Not that he doesn't love football or he's great at it, but McVay is already flirting with the retirement option. He has been for 3 years now. He's only been doing it for, I think, nine. So a little bit different. Like, Kyle Shanahan's never going to the media. That's not going to happen. Like, Kyle Shanahan, if for some reason left the 49ers, which I hope doesn't happen, he's going somewhere else to coach. That's just, Shanahan's a coach. McVay, just different. Doesn't mean he's not offensive genius or amazing. And you go through whatever. Youngest coach to win coach of the year. Youngest coach to win the Super Bowl. McVay, youngest coach in NFL history when hired at 30 years old. It's what is. He's won 77, lost 51. Incredible. And, you know, he's a Nepo baby, obviously. Grandson to the great McVay, who was here to kind of one of the architects of, you know, our dynasties here at the 49ers, but he did work his way up. Yeah, you say that. When your first job is in the NFL, you didn't work your way up. He got hired onto the 2008 Tampa Bay coaching staff under John Gruden with Kyle Shanahan. He came a year after Shanahan. But, like, if your first job's in the NFL, I'm sorry, you were gifted. Like, you were given that job because of connections somebody else made. Doesn't mean he didn't deserve it. It does mean he didn't deserve it. But not that it's a knock against him. Some people are born on second base. Some people aren't. It's just what it is. Him and Shanahan, they were both born on third base. There's no doubt. Doesn't mean they haven't earned it since they were put at that spot. But that's nepotism for you. And this game is peppered with nothing but nepotism. It's what it is. Was also with Shanahan for several years in Washington. And when Shanahan and Daddy Shanahan got fired after the 2013 season, Sean McVay stayed and took over and was the offensive coordinator for the next three seasons for Washington. Then he got the Rams coach the same time, 2017, that Kyle Shanahan went from the Falcons to the 49ers. So there's so much overlap. whenever you're talking about, you know, Kyle Shanahan, McVay, similar but different. McVay, 100% much more adjustable, changes his scheme. Like, they're similar, and Shanahan's dad, Kubiak, started it, but McVay's is almost indecipherable from Shanahan's. He's changed everything. 11 personnel all the time, 2x2 sets all the time, doesn't use double tight ends, doesn't use a fullback. It's just different, just different. Oh, what's up, Tommy? He says, John, they're going to dink and dunk us to death. I hope we do the same thing. I hope they do the same thing. I don't care if the Rams dink and dunk us to death, as long as the run game doesn't get started for them. They haven't been able to run the ball at all. If you can stop the run game and force them to do that, I'm cool with that, because they're wide receivers, not playmakers. And Stafford will turn the ball over. He has a much higher turnover-worthy play rate. We know the pick six. I think he leads the NFL currently of all quarterbacks who's thrown pick sixes. Like, we've got a couple of those in our time. So as long as the run game doesn't go, I want us to dink and dunk them to death. That's what I want. Check down city over here when the 49ers are out there. That's just me. J-Dog, my man, says, what's up, John? Looking for a tailgate for the Bears game, December. Had an amazing time with the 49ers rush. Are you tailgating that game? I'm not sure I'm going to be able to be at that one. We got some crazy changes taking place in the Chapman household. Everything's fine. But going to have to be spending a lot more time at home with the kiddo. We'll figure that out. But, yeah, I'd say this. This is what I always say. There's the whole chapter row, which you'll see all the flags at Levi's. Start at the Hilton. They do a bunch of cool giveaways. They've got kind of like a free area you can link up, bring some extra cash, walk around, find a party that looks to your liking, say, hey, guys, is there a way I could chip in some money to take part in your tailgate? If they say no, there's 50 other ones that you can. Most people are pretty welcoming, and if they don't welcome you, then I say this is probably not somebody you want to hang out. My personality, I show up with a six-pack. I'm going to walk around, hey, guys, y'all got room for one more? Somebody says yes. The 49ers faithful, especially if you're decked in Niner gear, just share your story. Be like, man, I'm from Boston. Anyway, I can, you know, join you guys. And I promise you, you'll find somebody. But start at like the Hilton and then just kind of walk your way down through the green and red lots. Find somebody that looks fun. If you're kind, and especially if you got a couple bucks in your pocket, just say, hey, man, can I chip in for whatever this is and join you guys? It works every time. It's all I do. I don't know. So hopefully that helps. Sorry, I can't be of more help, but, Joe Lenore, check him out at Niners Nation. He's over in the blue lot. He's always welcoming. He's one of the coolest people that's ever existed. Just again, people bringing the faithful together. I wish I was hosting a tailgate out there, but I am not. It's what it is. It's what it is. Now let's go to the second coach who we know a lot about, the Rams offensive coordinator, Mike LaFleur. Yeah, that Mike LaFleur. He was Shanahan's original passing game coordinator for 4 years, 2017 through the 2020 season. Here, Shanahan blocked him from going to work with his brother, Matt LaFleur, when he got the Green Bay coach. The NFL had to put in a whole new system of rules and hiring because Shanahan blocked this dude. They're all still friends and all that stuff. But LaFleur was with Shanahan in Cleveland. He was with Shanahan in Atlanta and here for 4 years. It's funny, people want to talk about like, oh, Jimmy G. He knows our playbook. Oh, he knows all our answers. And I'm just like, you do know Mike LaFleur has been with Shanahan for 9+ years. That is the guy that knows everything that we do. Not Jimmy G. It's Mike LaFleur would be the one that you would be concerned about. But went to the Jets with Robert Saleh as their OC, was fired after 2 years, went back to the Rams. He's been there now for 2 years. And he's just awesome. Like, in a, how do you say this? I don't want to be more condescending or rude. All these Nepo babies, Mike LaFleur, Matt LaFleur, ground up bootstraps, worked their tail end off. Robert Saleh worked his tail end off to get where they are. Shanahan's, McVay's, and then our defensive coordinator that we're going to talk about today for the Rams, Chris Shula. Yeah, you recognize that name? That's Don Shula's grandson, David Shula's son, Mike Shula's nephew. Nepo babies unite, baby. It's what it is. Now, Chris Shula played for the Miami Redhawks with Sean McVay back in 2004 to 2008. So these guys have known each other forever. And he got his first job, Chris Sula, the defensive coordinator, with Mike Nolan. Come on, man. Talk about these connections. This is hilarious. It's like, what was it, seven steps to Kevin Bacon? This is like two steps to Mike Shanahan. You know what I mean? Like, it's just connection after connection after connection. And what's also, he was a QC. Chris Shula was a quality control coach for the Chargers in 2015. Mike Nolan was the head coach. Nick Sirianni was an assistant. Shane Steichen was an assistant on that staff. It's just, the more things change, the more they stay the same. The NFL's cyclical. I truly do believe in that. Now, this is the first year as DC for Chris Shula. It's not looking great. It's really, really not looking that great, to be honest with you. But the injuries, whatever else, all that's there. We'll see what's going on. But he kind of did work his way up. He started at Ball State, then Indiana. Then he was at John Carroll. Then he jumped on with the Chargers. So, you know, kind of got to tip my cap a little bit for Chris Shula. It definitely didn't jump straight to the NFL. He put some years in, 5 years working, you know, outside the NFL to get to where he is. And I don't know. We'll see how this goes. Now let's transition to the worst part of this show. Let's talk injuries. I hate this. I hate this. I hate this. All injuries are bad injuries. 49ers otherwise. All injuries are bad injuries. 49ers. Christian McCaffrey, out. Debo, out. Kittle, doubtful. Doubtful. Which hurts, obviously. Kyle Shanahan was asked yesterday about Saubert, you know, our number two tight end, what he's going to look like stepping in.
Good job. He stepped in well. Kittle's cramping most of the game, so we had to do a lot throughout the Minnesota game. He's been real consistent since he's been here. If he's got to do it all, he's up for the challenge, and he's shown he can help us in the pass and the run game.
So, Charvarius Ward, questionable. Bosa, questionable. I expect both Ward and Bosa to be out there. And on yesterday's show, I said, man, I expect Kittle to play. I have no inside information. Now I do not. We have new information, which sucks because this would have been a gigantic Kittle game where he could have had 10-plus targets, but that's just the way it works. Now let's flip this. 49ers are beat up and injured. No doubt about that. Listen to this for the Rams. Puka Nacua, out. He's on IR. Tyler Higbee, their starting tight end, just like ours, out. Cooper Kupp, their number two wide receiver, out, not on IR, so he should return soon. John Johnson, the third starter, out, IR. Jonah Jackson, who they paid a lot of money to, offensive lineman, out. Davis Allen, their number two tight end, out. Kobe Durant, who's one of their starting corners, is questionable with a toe injury. Not good. He did practice yesterday. I expect him to play, but like, he's their best corner. He's questionable. Joshua Cardi, their kicker, questionable. Steve Avila, their center slash guard, IR, he's out. Joe Noteboom, IR, he's out. Darius Williams, their other corner, IR, he's out. Travius Hodges-Tomlinson, LT's nephew, LT's son, sorry about that, corner, IR, out. Like, they are so injured. They are so injured. No excuses. Both teams banged up. Who wants it? Who wants it? Now, the history of this, whatever, rivalry, I don't know if it's, I don't consider the Rams a rival. Real quick in the chat, do you consider the Rams a rival? It's like, kind of, like a little bit, but not really. So, real quick in the chat, yes, no, kind of. I don't know. The history of the matchup is the 49ers have won 78. Rams have won 69, nice, with three ties. So, like, we played each other a lot, but it's not completely one-sided. I don't know, man. It's Saturday, right? I'm a Longhorn. The Longhorns' number one rival is Texas A&M. That is clear and succinct. I understand they ran away. But then we chased up to them. Now they're trying to run away again because Texas A&M can't handle it. I consider OU a rival, but they're not our number one rival. It's a rivalry, but it's different. But for the 49ers, and again, I know I'm biased, our rival is the Dallas Cowboys. And I understand I was born in 82. I'm a product of my environment. The reason why I became a 49ers fan was because of my hatred for the Cowboys. That's just what it was. So, like, I consider the Seahawks a rival. I consider the Cowboys a rival. And kind of recently, the Eagles are now a team that we hate. The Chiefs, I ain't even going to bring them up. That's just what it is. So I want to see what y'all say right here. Chris says nope. Eddie says no. Josh says nope. Roth says nope. Papa says nope. Nope. Not really. Nope. Nope. For them, it's a rivalry. Yes, J-Dog. For the Rams, we're their rival, but we have more fans in their stadium, and we do kind of like the Thanos. I don't even know who you are. Like, all right, cool. Right here, red and gold. It's a sibling rivalry. We're the big brother. That's what it is. Papa J, that's right. Longhorns, hook 'em, baby. Happy Arch Manning Day for those who celebrate. Yeah, Cowboys are a rival. Yeah, I'm with you there. Owning the Rams, not a rivalry. Yes. Yeah, Cowboys and Seahawks. Oh, some people, Packers and Giants. Okay, yeah, you're East Coast. So that makes sense. Yeah, you hate the Giants just because you live in Boston. I respect that. Oh, we got a Katy, Texas in the house. That's what's up, man. I got some buddies coaching down there. Oh, Juan Salas. We got royalty in the house. He's going to be in Levi's tomorrow. That's right. Lompoc in the house, baby. Represented for the 49ers. I love it. Josh says Cowboys and Seahawks. So there we go. It has been settled scientifically, emotionally, historically. The Rams are not our rival. They are a division opponent that we look down upon from our highest seed of 5 Super Bowl trophies. That's just what it is. You are beneath us, sir. Anyway. Now, last matchup, they won 21-20. Meaningless Week 18 game. Carson Wentz versus Sam Darnold. I don't want to go more into that game. Now, let's jump over. Let's spend some time. Let's dissect. We're going to be here, guys. Y'all ain't going nowhere. Y'all ain't going nowhere. We're talking about these things. Let's spend some time talking about the Rams defense. Now, the best way to support the show, if you haven't already, right here. I am so excited to announce our new platform launched, the49ersrush.com. We've been active on Patreon for years, and we're still going to keep that community going. But the49ersrush.com has everything Patreon offers and a bunch more. You want to watch player breakdowns? Guess what? You click that. It's filtered based on players. You want to see Javon Hargrave, what he brings, some CMC tape broken down, Ayuk, Jair Brown. We've got hundreds and hundreds of tapes on. Now, you want football 101. You want to learn scheme. Guess what? We've got every single offensive, defensive, special team snap. Head over to the 49ersrush.com. Sign up. Join the community. And plus, we got a 7-day free trial. So, all right. Rams defense. Yikes, yikes. Double yikes. Okay? Out of 32 teams, 31st in points allowed, second to last. Not good. 32nd in yards allowed. And I know that the 49ers offense hasn't been humming, but we're fourth in total yards going against the worst team in the NFL in yards given up. They've given up 852 total yards in back-to-back games. They're averaging, what's that? 426 yards per game allowed. That's what their average is after two games. 14th in turnovers. They forced 2. 8th in fumbles. 30th in first downs allowed. That's been the 49ers' biggest issue. We're not getting first downs very much on third down. They're 30th. They've given up 45. Yikes. Passing yards, 24th. Passing touchdowns, 28th. We only have one passing touchdown for Brock Purdy so far, which is crazy. He's leading the NFL in passing yards, but we're not cashing in the end zone. That's going to be one of the key ones. Can we cash in the end zone instead of field goals? 30th in rush yards allowed. They've given up 394 rush yards. They are allowing literally 200 yards per game rushing against the Lions and the Cardinals. Jordan Mason. Like, come on, man. Come on. Now, I guarantee you, their number one thing they're going to do is try to stop the run. They got to. We got to make Brock beat us without all of his weapons. That has to be, if I put on the Shula headset, whatever, brain meld, whatever you want to call it. Like, man, we got to force him to throw the ball. We got to stop him from running the ball. I don't know if they have the personnel to do that. I really, really don't. Yards per rush, they allow 5.5 yards per rush. That is what Jordan Mason is averaging. Third downs, they're almost as bad as us. They're 28th. We're dead last. We're 32nd. But there we go. That's what it is. Players to watch out for on this defense. They've got some young, fun, like, pass rushers. Jared Verse, Byron Young, Braden Fisk. Like, they're young dudes. They're just not there. Kobe Turner. None of them are ranked very well. None of them have done really very much. But, you know, them in the pass rush versus Colton McKivitz, that's a little scary. Any of the defensive tackles versus Jake Brindle, who's had back-to-back worst games of his career, that's scary. But, like, just the pass rush, those are the concerns. Players to exploit, good Lord. I could list the whole damn defense. Christian Roseboom and Reeder, their two linebackers, who were their two linebackers last year. It was Shanahan freaking cooked them all game early last year. He's going to do that again. You look at their corners. Tre'Davious White, one of my favorite players in the NFL. He's not the same guy. He is the 90th ranked cornerback currently. And then Kobe Durant, who's banged up, that's an issue. Now you go to nickel. They go with a three safety look. They usually send Lake down in the nickel, and then they bring in Cameron Kitchens. It's just not good. Safeties, corners, linebackers, not good. Edge, defensive tackles, decent. Young, but decent. They just haven't done it yet. So, now you look at their scheme. Oh, my gosh. Okay, this is a fun. It's one of the most simple schemes I have watched in a long time. And it was that way, too, last year with Raheem Morris. Love Raheem Morris. He's the head coach down now in Atlanta. They run a 3-4. They run cover 3. That's 3 deep safeties or 3 deep, not usually 3 deep safeties. Or a cover 6, which is a hybrid of cover 2 on one side, cover 4 quarters on the other side. They stay in these. Like, you're going from one of the most complex defenses, no clue what's going on, Brian Flores, to one of the most paint-by-numbers, simplistic, easy to predict. You know their coverage before the snap. Chris Shula, 3-4, umbrella shell, basically a Vic Fangio-style defense that Brandon Staley was kind of the architect for back whenever he was there. It's very simple. Very. They sprinkle in a little bit of cover 1, but not much. Like, here's some percentages for you. Cover 3. We know cover 3. 46% of time. Third most in the NFL this year. Cover 6, 21% of the time. That's the most in the NFL, tied with the Packers. Their entire defensive philosophy is, look, keep everything underneath us. No explosive plays over 20 yards. That's kind of what they want to do. They are operating on a dink and dunk kind of thing, which worked really well when you had Aaron Donald. Let's just be real. He gone. Very simplified coverages. Brock doesn't need to be aggressive. Brock Purdy leads the NFL currently an aggressive pass rate. That dude is throwing the ball way downfield, tight windows. He don't care. Scratch that. No more of that, especially this week. You don't need that. Their defense is designed to take that away. You're going to see a lot of two high safeties. Run the ball, dink and dunk, check down. Jordan Mason, check down to Juice, check down to Saubert. I don't care if they're not elite playmakers like Kittle and CMC. Don't care. 4-yard gains are great. Don't go broke, make it a profit, baby. So be smart. That's what I want. Checkdowns are the most important thing. Every throw under 7 air yards, John Chapman's going to be going buck wild. Like, it's the opposite. I want the old Jimmy G days this week. Not always, this week. They do not have an offense that could put up 30 points. You get to 20, you win. You get to 20, you won the damn game. Just make sure we're cashing in drives for points. That's what I want. That's what we need. Back to Brock Purdy. Brock Purdy just needs to execute better on a simpler level, not the advanced calculus level. No, no, no. We're doing arithmetic, baby. Cross, multiply, divide. That's what we're working on. That's what we need. Here's Purdy talking about needing to execute better.
I mean, it's just coming out, and it's as simple as executing. We got the players. We got the scheme. We got what it takes. And, you know, it's dropping back and executing, knowing where my answers are at, and getting the balls into the guys' hands and drop stepping and getting first downs. And it's all of that. It's football, man. Just because you got, you know, really good players and good scheme doesn't mean the other team's going to give it to you. You have to go out and earn it. So We've had to learn that, you know, the first two games of the season. So hopefully we can be better next week.
Execute, simple, simplistic. Stop taking sacks, check it down. Stop holding the ball 2.9 seconds average before you throw a pass. No, that's stupid. Boom, boom, read one, read two, check down. Read one, read two, check down. I don't need three reads. I don't need four reads. I don't need that. Shout out to my man, Jay Peasy. Says, hit that like button, family. Thanks, John, for all you do. Yeah, easy way to support. Hit the thumbs up. Hit the subscribe. Hit the alerts. Any of those things, that helps us. It doesn't cost anything. Appreciate that. Appreciate that. Now, their tendencies, they don't blitz mutts. Again, this is the most opposite defense in the NFL to Brian Flores and what we saw last week against Minnesota. They blitzed seven times last week against the Cardinals. They blitzed seven times week one in overtime against Jared Goff, baby giraffe. Like, that's what it is. So, you can run more play action, right? Dink and dunk, run the ball, play action when you want to go deep. God, it's simple. So simple. Don't overthink this. Please, 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 please. Lots of split safeties, like I said. That's just what it's going to be. The whole time I'm watching their defense, I brought this up earlier in the week, but again, Texas is playing today. I can't help myself. Mac Brown, one of my favorite quotes he had, and it's paraphrasing, so it's not an exact quote. He's like, yeah, people say, yeah, but they're a young team. That's true, but they're young and bad. It'd be different if they were young and good, but they're not. And that's just the whole time I'm watching this defense, it's just like, man, there are so many players peppered at all three levels that are just like, ah, like, is there anybody on the, I would take Jared Verse. I would take Braden Fisk. I would take Kobe Turner. Those are the three. Out of 11 starters, I'm taking three. We got eight. Like, those three guys, and I don't even think I'd take Jared Verse over Leonard Floyd. I would take Jared Verse over Yetur Gross-Matos. I'm taking Turner over Hargrave. That's the easiest thing I've ever heard in my life. I'm not taking Fisk over Malik Collins, though. So, yeah, maybe two. Shoot, maybe one. So, yeah, I take one starter defensively. There's no excuse. And I'm going to wait. I'm going to wait. Almost went off right there. I'm going to wait till we get to our predictions and that part of the show to get to that part of the show. But, yeah, we're not there yet. Now, about to be time to jump over to the Rams offense, which, man, I hope you got some Pepto-Bismol ready because this is about to get gross. All right, 49ersRushRoadTrip.com is live. Tickets are available for all of our road trips this year. Just go to 49ersRushRoadTrip.com, click here for tickets. Brings you to our landing page here, and you can see all the events that we're doing. And so once you pick an event, you just click on 49ers Bucks, scroll down. You can see our pre-party. You can see our tailgate. You pick what you want to do there. And right now, the prices are as low as they're ever going to be. They only go up. So we got early bird pricing till we sell a certain number of tickets. You can check out there. You get a QR code ticketing site, which we built ourselves, which I'm so excited about. 49ersRushRoadTrip.com. Go party with the faithful. All right, let's talk Rams offense. We know Rams offense. We've seen Rams offense. It hasn't changed since McVay's really been there, but it's not good. Having said that, Nick Sorensen, I think, has the most on the line this week. I'm not one of those guys that thinks he needs to be fired or he's on the hot seat. No, I don't believe that. He's a young signal caller in his first year. Having said that, Kevin O'Connell took this dude to the woodshed with Sam Darnold last week. Took him to the woodshed. Now, where's Kevin O'Connell from? Yep, that's right. The McVay Shanahan tree, but he never coached with Shanahan. So O'Connell goes to McVay. Most of those guys go to Shanahan. O'Connell's him. Can Sean McVay do the same thing with Matt Stafford, who's 1,000 times better than O'Connell? And I know, like, I get it. They don't have Puka. They don't have Cooper. But we saw in the fourth quarter where they didn't have Jordan Addison and they didn't have Justin Jefferson. It didn't matter. O'Connell still whooped up on Sorensen. So can that change? This is my biggest question and probably the most important thing about this game. Because if the 49ers defense goes out and just performs average, it's going to relieve a lot of pressure off Sorensen and it's going to build a lot of confidence in that locker room. If Stafford and this Rams beat up offense that's missing One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight starters. They're missing eight starters, guys. 8 out of 11 starters are out. The only starters they got is their right tackle, Havenstein, Stafford, and Williams. That's it. They got three. Kyren Williams, the running back. So, I'm not saying Sorensen, the defensive coordinator, is in trouble. I'm saying if you lose this game and that offense operates on schedule, now you're in trouble. That will start. The hot seat will be red hot. Red hot. You get beat by the worst team in football. Red hot. It's not there, and I hope he dominates and builds that confidence, and then that leads them into the year. But McVay could cause some problems right here. Let's just be very, very honest. All right, so here's the offensive ranks for the Rams out of 32 teams. Total points, 27th. Not good. They're averaging 15 points a game. So that's 17 points a game. The 49ers getting all their losses the last 2 years would win this game. 16th in yards. They could put up yards. 8th in turnovers. That's good. 10th in fumbles. Good. 9th in interceptions. They don't turn the ball over often. There's been a lot of turnover-worthy plays, but they haven't done that yet. 9th in first downs. 5th in passing yards. I think 1st in the NFL is Brock Purdy. I think 3rd is Matt Stafford in passing yards. If I could be wrong on that, but that's okay. Only one passing touchdown, just like us. 17th in yards per pass, 6th. That's really low for McVay. 22nd in rush attempts. They don't run the ball very often. 31st in rush yards. They're 2nd worst. They can't establish the run. Their offensive line, 4 out of 5 starters are gone. That is what you got to shut down the run, 49ers defense. If they run on us, freaking start ringing the bells. Like, it's trouble in the castle. It's trouble in the castle. If they run the ball effectively on us this game, ring the freaking alert bells. We are in trouble. 31st in yards per rush attempt. They're averaging 3.2. That's nuts, man. That's terrible. 25th in third downs. 22nd in red zone. Just not good. And they've really got two players to watch out for. That's it. Matt Stafford, he's a great quarterback. He's got a great arm. When everything's operating on time and tempo, he's as good as there is in the NFL. The dude can sling it. But here's what's crazy. Somebody talked about Deke and Dunk earlier. He has 0% big-time throws made this year in 2 games. He hasn't made 1 big-time throw yet this year, according to PFF. 4.7% turnover-worthy plays. You throw the ball 20 times, there's 1 turnover play, right? He throws the ball over 40 times a game. There's going to be opportunities for picks. Brock has been terrible this year as far as turnover-worthy plays. He's at 3.75. So he's a full percentage point lower than Stafford, and Brock has been the worst Brock's been turnover-wise, putting the ball in jeopardy-wise this year. Kyren Williams is a great running back, and he's had a lot of success against us, but he has no offensive line. He's got nothing. He's got nothing. Players to exploit, good Lord. Their entire offensive line, mainly their interior. Like, Alaric Jackson's back from suspension, their left tackle. Havenstein, their right tackle, that is their actual starter. But he's not been good. He's 32nd. Like, Colton McKivitz is a full tier ahead of him in PFF scores. A full tier. Now, Havenstein's a much better pass protector than Colton, but not in the run game. Like, their interior, left guard, center, right guard, you can destroy. You can destroy. And yeah, right here. Thank you, Hugo. Seeing Hufanga back is going to change everything. At least I think it will. I'm a diehard Hufanga fan, and I will be wearing that jersey this Sunday. I'm not going to be at the game, but I'll be wearing the jersey with a big smile on my face and rosy red cheeks. What's up, Sol? Aloha, brother. Now, their scheme, it's simple. They're the most 11 personnel. 1 running back, 1 tight end in the NFL. 98% of the time, the Rams are in 11 personnel. That means 2% of the plays are not in 11 personnel. The next NFL team is 13% behind them. Like, it is just 11 personnel. Now, could that change without Kupp and Puka and whatever? And my favorite thing about this entire game, That means we're going to be a nickel. We're going to be in a three-quarter sets, and DFF's not going to be out there. Now, DFF's really good at coverage, so that fits against Stafford throwing the ball all the time. But I'm happy when DFF's not out there personally. I fully expect Renardo Green to get some snaps, especially with Charvarius Ward kind of banged up. I think Charvarius Ward starts, but Renardo Green should be able to get, you know, 2 to 3 series again, and I hope he does. I really, really do. They love balanced sets, 2x2 sets. It's McVay, just his OCD balance. That's what he wants. I think Shanahan laughs at that, and that's like probably their biggest discrepancy. Shanahan wants the numbers. McVay's like, I don't want you to know what we're doing. Whereas Shanahan's like, I don't give a damn if you know what I'm doing. We got numbers. We're going to do it anyway. Whereas McVay's like, ah, you don't know what's coming your way. Magician type. Like, it's just, that's kind of where they're very, very different. Tendencies, you know, what they do on third and all that stuff. I kind of threw them out. I had a whole list and I was like, man, no, there's so many injuries. The tendencies, you kind of got to just check and throw out the window. They've never been in this situation before where they have literally 3 starters of offense. That's hardcore. They're in a weird spot. Now, my favorite matchups on both sides of the ball. Let's start with the 49ers defense. Nick Bosa versus Alaric Jackson. I think that's awesome. I think Alaric Jackson's a good tackle in the NFL. But we just saw Bosa go against Christian Darrisaw nonstop. I think that's huge. So going from Christian Darrisaw to Havenstein and Alaric Jackson, I'm cool with that. Like, I love that. Them, Stafford versus Jair Brown. I think Jair Brown's coming off his worst game of his young career. That scares me. Isaac Yiadom is playing good. Not great. Not bad. He's just like always just a step out. I want to see Yiadom kind of step his game up a little bit. But the number one matchup for them is it's McVay against Sorensen. That's what I'm most terrified about. That's what I started this segment with. Now, the blue chip, I'm going to go Kyren Williams against Fred Warner. If you want to do Stafford versus Fred Warner, I'm cool with that. But, like, there's 2 studs on their team on the offensive side. We have several. Fred Warner's the best player in the NFL right now. That's just what it is. Now, flip it. 49ers offense. You know, mine was Kittle versus the linebackers and safeties. That's what it was. But here we go. Quite contraire. I'm going Jordan Mason versus this defensive line. I want to see Jordan Mason freaking put a stamp on the NFL and lead the NFL in rushing after week 3 is over. That's what I want to see. So Mason is the real deal. Nobody can argue with that. Also want them to check the ball down a bit. I think Mason's going to have a monster day, by the way. Them, I'd say, you know, Jared Verse versus McKivitz in pass only. McKivitz is going to own him in the run game. Jared Verse, he's got the upper hand in the pass game. So if we can mitigate that. Now remember, McKivitz hasn't given up a sack yet this year. I understand all the pressures. There's a lot there. He ain't given up a sack yet. So if he gives up the pressures, looks bad on a couple plays, I could deal with that. Pass pro. Don't give up the sack, strip fumbles, that type of stuff. Blue, let's do a future blue because it's hard to find anybody that is a blue chip on this defense, if I'm being very honest. I'm going Dominique Pooney versus Braden Fisk. How fun is that? You know, Braden Fisk was picked in the 2nd round. Dominique Pooney, early 3rd round. That's going to be a battle for years. For years to come. Oh, I'm excited about that one, man. I am very, very excited about those matchups. Now, here we go. It's time to, let's go through our bets, baby. I spent a lot of time. We got our bets and prediction episode. If you betting, you know what you got to do.
You know football. You watch all the games. You know what's going to happen before it actually does. So why don't you put your knowledge to the test over at MyBookie, where you can bet on everything. Go to MyBookie.ag, use promo code 49ERS, 49ers, or scan this QR code next to me, and they're going to match your initial deposit. Put in 50, you get 50. Put in 100, you get 100, all the way up to $1,000. Plus, you can bet everywhere. California, Texas, doesn't matter. I've been in California for years. I've used it for 6 straight years. Easy to get money in, easy to get money out, trusted source, and you can bet on anything you want. You want to bet on politics, any sport, you name it. They've got the casino if that's your thing. You name it, my bookie is there for you. Now, make sure you use promo code 49ERS to get that double deposit. And my bookie, bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only with my bookie. Now, my bets of the week have already been posted. That's for our Jerry Rice tier and above over on our Patreon and the 49ersrush.com. If you want to see what all those are, head over there. We got 7-day free trial. That's how I feed my family. I'll share with you two of my favorite bets this week, though. Stafford over 33.5 pass attempts. He threw 49 times last week. Like, that run game cannot get going, and I don't think it's going to get going this week. The number one thing, we're like, oh, man, how did the Rams beat us? They established the run. Can't let them do that. So Stafford over 33.5 pass attempts. And then Juwan Jennings, who I think is going to have a huge game. Juwan Jennings has had 7 catches through 2 weeks. He's getting a 50% snap share. That's it. He's had less than 50%, actually. Now he's getting almost all those snaps. He's going to be the wide receiver, too. So Juwan Jennings over 3.5 receptions. He's already been on that pace. Now you're increasing his snap share against some of the worst corners that will be playing this Sunday. I love this. One, should I start Purdy or Stroud? I would start Stroud. And Mason or Williams? I would start Mason. So I would go, because again, should be a run-heavy game. Purdy hasn't put the ball in the end zone just yet. I would go Stroud and Mason personally. I don't think any of those are bad options, though. I would not start Williams. That dude has gotten nothing going as far as rush yards go. They don't trust him, and they're not moving the ball very well. So until they prove that, you know, early on, I wait till somebody proves it. So that's what I would do. Great question, Juan. Appreciate that. Right here, Grande. If they check down to Mason when he's open, he'll have a career game. I agree completely. You know, I'll go out of order. Here are my offensive predictions. Run, force, run, baby. Run the damn ball. Last week, Mason got 20. Wasn't enough. I want 24 carries for Mason. I think Brock's going to be scrambling some this week and should use his feet, not design runs. But, man, if read one, read two, check down. That's not there. Use your feet, slide, get 3 yards. Like, that is a positive play for the 49ers, right? And I think he's going to get 15-plus rushing yards, 2 rushing first downs. That's what he did last week, too. Patrick Taylor Jr., I do think, gets a play. Isaac Corendo only got 1 snap last week, but it was awful. And it was blocked so well. It's probably the best blocked running play we had the whole game, and Isaac G. kind of killed it. He just doesn't have the reps. I want Patrick Taylor out there. He is so much more consistent. So much more consistent. So I think Patrick Taylor gets a little bit. I think Jacob Cowan gets a sweep or two. I don't think Cowan's going to be getting like 15 snaps or anything. He hasn't got 1 offensive snap yet. Shanahan was asked about this. He's like, yeah, he's part of the rotation. But I think you design 1 or 2 plays for Cowing to go in a Debo-style package, do a jet sweep or a screen. I think that's kind of his role. My guess is probably like 4 to 6 snaps. But design a touch for him whenever Cowing goes in. 32 rush attempts guarantees a win for the 49ers. 49ers rush 32 times, guaranteed win. Jennings going to feast. I got 7 catches. Oh, he's going against Trey White, Kobe Durant, who's banged up. I'll take it. I got Juwan Jennings, 6 catches, 88 yards, and a touchdown. Ayuk's going to be good. But, man, his over-under is like 78 yards. No, I ain't betting that. I ain't touching that. I think something like a 5-catch, 75-yard game, I would take that right now. Is that elite? Is that $30 million worth? God, no. But if you told me Ayuk has 5 catches for 75 yards, take it or leave it, I'm taking it. I'll take anything in the positive. 5 for 75, I'd be cool with. Purdy, check down like crazy. I want 4 Mason targets. I want 2 Juice targets. I want 3 Saubert targets. I think Purdy finishes with a stat line around 235 yards and 1 touchdown, probably an interception. There's going to be some miscommunication with all wide receivers playing new spots, backup tight end, all that kind of stuff. So I think there could be some issues, but under 3 sacks. I'm going to go 2.5 sacks. That's kind of the over-under. So I think that's where that'd be. Now, defensively, 49ers got to stop the run early. Force Stafford to throw the ball 40-plus times. Sacks and interceptions will come.
Warner continues his defensive player of the year. I think he gets another pick and 8-plus tackles. Hufanga's going to struggle at points in this game. Let's just be real. First time coming off the ACL, but that dude's going to make a huge game-changing play in the second half. Most riding on this, and this is what's cool. Nick Sorensen, I can't talk about this enough, but also Brock Purdy. Sorensen, man, you handle this game the way you're supposed to, all the pressure's gone. You're good. You bought yourself another month plus without criticism. Maybe not with this fan base. But you get toasted by this team, that seat's going to be red hot. Go out, do your business, Sorensen. We believe in you. We want you. You're awesome. But if you you lay an egg again against this offense, it's going to be rough. R-U-F-F. Brock, man, prove you're the guy. Without all the studs around you, without CMC, without Debo, without Kittle, if Brock goes out there and just has a solid game, that's huge. You go out there and struggle and ball slipping out of your hand, interceptions again, it's not going to be good. It's not going to be good. I think the 49ers win this as long as special teams keeps their ugly ass head out of this game. Don't ruin it for us. Don't ruin it for us, special teams. But this is going to be an ugly game. Two banged up teams. It's going to be what it is right here. Salty says Jake Tonjes for the best stat line at tight end. Hey, I'd put his over under at like 0.5 catches. But yeah, I'd be cool with that. I'd be totally cool with that. But I got the 49ers winning. I don't have us covering the spread. I'm not betting that 6.5 points. I got to see more how things go defensively before I'm going to bet that. Offense, I know what it's going to be. Defense, I don't know. Run Mason. I got 49ers winning 24-18. First one to 20 wins this game. Ain't got to get to 30. First one to 20 wins. It's going to be ugly. I think there's going to be turnovers on both sides. I think there's going to be long swings. Mitigate that by running the ball, playing solid defense. Don't give anything away. God, I love the 49ers. I'll be live right after the show. Really excited about this game. Anytime we play the Rams, it's fun. It's our get right game, baby. And, you know, I got to end this with what it is. Sorry, kids. Doesn't matter how bad the 49ers are the week before. When you play the Rams, it's the same old sorry-ass Rams every single time. Let's go get little brother. Until next time, stay strong, faithful. Want to say thanks for supporting today's show. And to take us out, we're going to go to a new song from Key Man. You know what it is.
Your quest don't stop. 49 to faithful when the rest gon' fly. Riding for the team that we love on God. We gon' lift them up till they up on time.
Till we up on time.
The quest don't stop. 49 to faithful when the rest gon' fly. Riding for the team that we love on God. We gon' lift them up till they up on time.
Till we up on time.
Yeah, we been running plays since 46. Keys all to the stick, we been in the mix. Take it to the zone, we been striking gold. That 49 away, winning Super Bowls. So many legends, check the Hall of Fame.
Make the right call for the right Medicare Advantage benefits. Go to MedMutual.com/review to schedule your free Medicare plan review with Medical Mutual, Ohio's hometown Medicare insurer.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Alo or Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret? With Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whatever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/try to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/try.